hang on on his local situation. That does. You think that's anything to that?
Yes, I think it could be.
Dobriansky, you remember Dobriansky?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's an awful pain in the
ass. Yeah. But he's also got a lot of people, a lot of checks, a lot of folks in there that would want us to be trading.
I would think so.
Now, did you see the Hoover letter today?
Yeah. You mean...
saying that... I've
got it on my desk, and I talked to old Katzenbach about this the other day. Now, I've seen the one that he said this was... You're talking about the one in reply to Russ's letter.
Yeah. We decided that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I wish I could get him to go a little further. You think you wouldn't have any objection if I wrote him another letter to try to get him to say he didn't oppose it. He won't quite say it in so much language. That's certainly the implication of his reply.
I wouldn't do it by letter because he's so suspicious of letters and he's investigated all of his life. But I'll tell you what I would do.
I've already written him a letter, you know, and asked him to appear.
I'll tell you what I would do.
He didn't do that.
If I didn't mind it, you're not very strong on these departments, but I'd call him some morning and say, it's all right if I drop by your office and, would be all right. Could you come up here and see me for a little bit? And then,
well, you don't like me much, you know, over that McCarthy business.
Well, I don't make a damn. I don't think he does. I think that he's a very peculiar fella, and he's a very... he's been around the goddamn thugs all of his life so many that he doesn't trust his mother, I'm afraid. And what I think you could do, and I think I've made some headway, I think what you could do is say to him, ask him, drop by, say, would you mind coming by? I want to get some advice from him. He wants to be popular with the Congress, and he would want to be popular with you, and he would consider it a compliment. And you could just say to him, now, as I understand it, if we have more consular offices in this country, of course you'll have to have more money and more protection. We understand that. But I gather from your letter here that you're really not opposing this thing. What you're pointing out is the problems that you would conceive and the expense that would be required. My judgment is he'd probably say that's exactly right. And then you could say, well, if you don't mind, I'll drop you a little note, and you reply to it. Then I would have him to lunch following that, and we might get a real firm commitment. If you write him first, he's going to be skittish that he's trying to be made a record out of him. But
yeah.
If you just take this Rusk letter and say...
All I did was just a routine letter to say we'd be glad if you care to testify. And he wrote back and said he'd written a letter, but he referred me to the Attorney General or something. I forget now what it was. It was a nice letter, but didn't say a damn thing.
I got the impression from one of his men that wasn't he in before the Rooney Committee when this happened?
The Appropriations Committee, yeah.
And what I think he said, that if you open up, if you have this kind of agreement, you have these Russians scattered all over the country, that you're going to have somebody watching them. And if you do, it's going to cost a hell of a lot of money, and about like that. And I think he's making a pitch to protect his funds rather than to keep them out. Now, that's my judgment, but I'll make a run at it if you don't, but I would prefer to follow you.
Yeah.
If you feel like it, you ask him to drop by.
I don't know whether he still remembers it or not, but they were awful mad at me when I made in the height of that McCarthy thing, he made a speech praising McCarthy out in California, and I made reference to it, and I thought that they'd gone mighty far and that I didn't care to give them any more information as long as I thought they made it available to McCarthy. Oh, they sent that Lou Nichols up here to tell me, oh, they didn't do it. I said, the hell you don't do it? It was right there. He had it by his elbow and said he was reading from it. Well, I said, of course, I think he did have it. And anyway, they kind of got pissed off at me.
Well, maybe it's not the thing to do. I'll follow it. Anyway, I think it's something to do. And we're going to have, I hope you're free, we're going to have this signing, you know, I told Goldberg to talk to you about it on the space thing, and I believe it's going to be the 27th. So that's next, not far. Today's the 20th, and I think that'll help pave the way a little bit.
Well, hell, I've got to make a speech to a bunch of Jews down.
Why don't you make more? How much you and Morris making these speeches?
I made a damn one this year.
What do you charge, you and Barkley? $2,500 a round or $3,000?
No, I don't. This is because Benny's aunt's down there, and I took advantage of a free trip down to making a speech.
I saw you ran out last night before Strom Thurmond told you where the hell the cow ate the cabbage. When you saw old Strom getting ready to get up, you and Joe Clark went to disarming.
Bill Foster'd ask us long time ago, and I hated to back out such a late date. I didn't care about hearing Strom anyway.
He's got the answers if you just listen to him.
God almighty. He gives me the willy.
He says that the thing that the trouble is that these targets, that you don't know anything about the targets, that you're not hitting the right target.
Yeah. Well, I hope you can get those goddamn people to talking over there. I hate when I see all those figures and all those amounts and so on. You know, it's just awful.
You're not going to get them to talking until they're convinced they can't win here. And you just let them know here the statement that you made a long time ago that they can't win here. The Hawks are more in control than anybody else. They're stronger than the president. When they convince that, I'm convinced that you can sit down and get an agreement with them on your 54 and 62 and maybe have an election there and the understanding that we'll just pull out and abide by the results of the election just like we did in the Dominican Republic.
I have sold. It's a fair deal, but you got to get the first step. And that is, I don't think you can ignore the Viet Cong. They're the bastards that are fighting.
We're not ignoring them. When they get ready to transact this business, they'll take the Viet Cong just exactly like we'll take South Vietnam.
You encourage that damn assembly. Some of those native South Vietnamese, not Key the general, but whoever's in there is coming in that constituent assembly. Encourage them very quietly through your CIA or somebody to get in communication with the Viet Cong and say, for Christ's sake, let's have an election and see if we can have settled this thing. We're just killing each other for nothing.
They are just as much under the control of the North Vietnam bill as that little stenographer that you sent out takes your direction, just the same way. And they got just about as much independence as a sharecropper in Mississippi.
This is an approach to them. Maybe they would then put it up to the North.
You see, these people don't want anybody to know they're messing with us. And they don't want the Viet Cong or the Chinese to know it. But they see what's happening in China, and they see the days are numbered with Russia's having to force everything. So they're going to talk if things just keep on. They're hollering too much not to want to talk. All this yelling, you see your friend Ashmore today with his story, he's coming in. This business, they're going to talk in a reasonable length of time, in my judgment, if we don't blow it here. And if they decide they can wait until the next election, why, they might do it, see if they blow it to election. Otherwise, they'll talk. And when they talk, we can make reasonable terms. We can let them bring whoever they want to. They want the Viet Cong to come there. Their voice will be heard, as we said. But they're going to write the ticket. And I think the insurmountable thing has been removed by Manila, which y'all laughed at. But when we told them in Manila that we weren't going to stay there, that we'd come home, and said it publicly all over the world, and all eight of them agreed, and South Vietnam agreed, they didn't want us. And we'll come out of there just as soon as you have your election, just like we did the Dominican Republic. Then I think that's what's going to get it done, if we do it. And I think whether we do it or not is whether they think that they can wear us out here. And if they think they can, they'll do it, because they want that territory. Otherwise, they'll be willing to settle it. And I think that the Indonesia thing is just kind of waiting to see what happens, too. I think that they'll be throwing Sukarno out for too long, and they'll be willing to put two or three divisions of their own in there. And I think they can see that. They can see China crumbling up. And this is getting closer to a solution if we just don't blow it and we don't, the Goldwater statements, they hurt us. It'll just give us hell because he's been out and he's got all the dope about how they're being restrained and restricted.
And Storms, if it had been public last night, would have hurt us. He's just back. And his was all on the targeting and not using our weapons. Some of Dick's statements the same way. The Joint Chiefs, how do we keep them, your man from Arkansas and the rest of them suppressed, I don't know. But we're doing it pretty good. We can hold out just a little while longer. I think that they don't fight anymore. They get out of the way, you see. And they just, it's awfully hard on them. And what they want us to do, and there's some targets that we ought to take, the steel mill and the damn cement thing and stuff that they're manufacturing, but we've held back because they're so close and they're so basic, and it's such a change. We're not going to hit their dikes or their water or their civilians or their cities or anything like that. But everything you hit, you kill some. It's just a question of how many. But there's some things we could make it much harder, but they're having hell now. They got thousands and hundreds of thousands repairing, trying to keep going, and it's not easy for them. And they're not going to do this. They're not going to do this much longer. And if we can, they wouldn't. I don't think they'd be sending their folks back and home. They're going back and forth now. You see, with these messages. So we just got to hold a stiff upper lip and be careful and don't. Rock the boat. Don't, when these folks go to making these speeches, just get off the floor. Don't get in debate with them. Just let Strom ignore them. Just, you can't answer them. And I just hope that Goldwater, I don't want to, somebody said I ought to have him come in and report to me because he is the nominee. And I said, the hell with the nominee. I don't want any reports like this. I want to play him down as much as I can. I read you what a Navy admiral said. I don't know who he is and I can't find the damn fella, but he got right into the conference table. Right in the middle of it, right in Warsaw. And they just came up and said, well, the hell with it. Here, this Johnson, this man wouldn't be speaking without him. And they interpret what he says as representing me, just like you'd say when Gromyko says something, that's the Soviet line.
I'll be damned.
They don't understand our system. That's the great danger. That's been a danger in all these wars we've had. People misjudge us. Okay, you give me what I wanted. I don't want to take all day, but I did want to find out about these folks and keep it silent. And now listen, and when I have to change out there, I'm seriously thinking, I talked to you about this once before, but you may have forgotten it. My number one problem in Vietnam, as I see it, is what we clean up to try to administer it and pacify it. If Lodge gets out of there, I'm inclined to put Westmoreland over in his place.
Well, it's become such a major military matter, I guess it's
he's level-headed, he's quiet, he'll cooperate, he'll do what we tell him to do. He doesn't fight with us. He holds the folks in line. He's got the prestige. He knows the country. He can make key and them act, and he has with the Constituent Assembly and other things, and I believe will be more effective than Lodge. If Lodge comes out of there, and Lodge is going to come out of there after the Constituent Assembly gets out of the way, in my judgment. And you said once before, well, it's military anyway, and I wouldn't want a military man in other countries, but for the transition, just trying to get where we can feed these refugees, where we can take care of these people, where we can protect what we've run over, what we have cleaned up. And I believe that if we're going to have a pacification program, Bill, it's awful hard to get these aid men, these State Department men, to manage a job. They're not managers.
No, that situation's awful.
Yes, it is.
It's so goddamn bad, you can hear it has to be all the military operation.
Okay, that's all right. Do you know Westmoreland, though?
No, I don't.
I wish you did. Why don't you go to Vietnam?
Oh, Jesus, I'm too old for that.
Oh, right away.
Huh?
You're not too old to run around here and make speeches. Arthur Goldberg's going out there and next month, and you could ride out there with him and be back in 10 days.
I promised Mike I'd go to Mexico with him.
Well, that's good. I'm for Mexico. They're judging us by how we get along with their neighbors. They want me to come to Canada. I wish you'd take that engagement.
Well, I've been to Canada. I was down there last fall for that same reason. I had a hard time getting anybody in my committee to go there. But Mike called me to go down to Mexico. I've never been there. So
well, I think you ought to go. I think it's better now, they tell me, than it's ever been. They're great big
tough prize fighter here on one side, and they feel a little anemic, 16-year-old there, and they live in our shadow. But they tell me now the second man came in the other day, Boonstra, and I appointed him ambassador to Costa Rica. He's been there 10 years, chief of mission. He said it's by far the best relationship to us they've ever had. He said when you call up, you can be in the president's office himself in 30 minutes. He said this president is not going to be as popular politically as Diaz Ordaz, as the fellow preceded him, I forgot, because he is he does work with the Americans, so, and he thinks that we're in excellent shape with them. The more attention we give them, I think Mike's had a lot to do with it too. And George Aiken, they've been messing around down there every few months, and I think it'd be a wonderful thing if he